Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people friend and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Here on Blog Talk Radio, I am your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I'm trying to promise you another wonderful show. Like my man, Mr. Keith Wright, just said, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Well, folks, you know, I'm going to try to dig into a conversation that may stimulate some brains here this evening. And, you know, this may cause you to have a different outlook or a different perspective on your child being involved in sports. You know, oftentimes we look at our child being involved in sports, and especially at the younger age, they're out there, they're having fun, they're doing their thing, they're enjoying life. And at the same time, developing some life skills, you know, coming into their own, you know, as many of us would like to look. And you know, developing some traits that cause them to stand out and be just a little bit more than your average everyday kid. And, hey, nothing's wrong with the average everyday kid. But we have that young athlete that we have the opportunity to shape, groom, mold, and just pour our all into. And at the end of the day, as a friend of mine said that has passed away, it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. Well, folks, what I'd like to highlight and what I'd like to address, something that may not be a popular topic at the present moment, but I think it's a fitting topic at the present moment. Because you see more and more of our kids being pulled into it. And the interesting part, the ones that's being pulled into it, the ones that being criticized for having a voice or being criticized for not having a voice, kind of disturbing on how the media plays that game. So, I want to try to do something this evening that's going to try to stimulate some conversation and give us an opportunity to see where are we with our children involved in sports. Where are we?
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
That's right, folks. You're listening to the Parents Coaching Parents Network here on blogtalkradio.com, the Parents Coaching Parents Network. And I'm your host, M.H. Scott. Folks, I'm going to let you know up front, if you want to call in, join the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-989-8095. Love to have you join the conversation this evening. Love for you to chime in and see just basically, hey, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? And what can you add to the conversation?
And, you know, I want to leave the door wide open. So I'm going to give you my opinion somewhere towards the end, but I'm going to leave the door wide open for the most part because I want to hear your perspective. I want to hear your thoughts, your views, your ideals, your moans, groans, gripes, and complaints, as we used to say, just to get a feel for some of you that, you know, I associate with. Where's your thoughts? Now, is that going to make us enemies? Is that going to turn me against you? Is that going to? No. Your thoughts is your thoughts. Your opinion is your opinion. And at the end of the day, hey, I will respect that, and we can continue on to be friends, associates, whatever we are, at the end of the day, and everything be lovely. As my boy would say, that's a beautiful thing. You know, I think about that because that was a dear friend of mine, and he and I had many long talks over the years, and every time he got to a point where, you know, he seen something and it all came together, he concluded his statement with, that's a beautiful thing. So, as you may hear me say that from time to time throughout this broadcast, because it's just something that popped in my head as I was thinking about my boy and, you know, the great life that he had during the time period that he was here. Well, folks, you know, what I want to talk about this evening, as you've seen the show topic, should our children as athletes speak on social issues? Now, I made sure I highlighted that by saying this is from a parent's perspective. You know, at some point in time, I will try to get some young folks in and get their thoughts and their views on it. But I want to give it to you now, just simply from a parent's perspective. What do you think as a parent? What do you think as a person that has raised that young man or that young lady for all these years? What's your thoughts on it? Well, folks, again, you can always call in 917-889-8095. I'm going to tell you why this conversation has become a conversation of interest with me. I had the pleasure of looking at a town hall meeting, which was hosted by San Jose State University. And San Jose is a pretty good institution. And they hosted a town hall meeting. And at the town hall meeting or at the panel discussion, however they want to define it, they had two separate panels. The first panel were a few athletes along with some media personality, folks from ESPN, NBA TV, you know, a few other primary media outlets that covers some, you know, covers all professional athletes. And I thought they did a very good job. And the conversation was focused around sport, activism, and social change. Well, folks, as I listened to the panelists, should I say, the second panelist, group of panelists, really caught my attention. The second group of panelists consisted of some very prominent athletes, many of which that we should know and have followed, you know, in our season, you know, if we're of that age, And if we're not of age, we'll probably still heard of many of their accomplishments. You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We know about Kareem. Kareem is that former Laker coming out of UCLA. You know, got the Lakers on the map, and they just kept on going from that point forward. Formerly known as Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Next, you have the legendary Jim Brown. Jim Brown, another legend in sports, NFL Hall of Famer, numerous times MVP. You know, Jim is still actively involved in the community. You may have recently heard about Jim and his visit to President Trump, or his visit with President Trump. Jim and Ray Lewis, another former NFL superstar, had the pleasure of visiting with President Trump. And Jim addressed that. And I will kind of like be able to try, kind of sort of paraphrase what Jim had to share in reference to his visit. But the next athlete, and this young man, but he's still very active in the community. Takeo Spike. And Takeo has been very vocal in some of his thoughts as far as, you know, political actions and other things going on throughout the country. Another young man, and we all know Chris Webber. Chris has been around for a number of years. Chris first hit the stage, as many of us may know, with that great group called the Fab Five: Chris, Juwan Howard, Jalen Rhodes, and others. You know, they hit the stage, and they brought some attention to some things, just simply from them being college athletes, later on moving into the professional ranks. Tommy Smith. And Tommy is the Olympic gold medalist, who we all may know. Tommy is one of those two brothers that you've seen standing there, fist held high with the black glove on, in the 1968 Olympics. Some of us may not recall that, remember that, have no clue what I'm talking about. But the 1968 Olympics, Tommy stood there in solidarity and in protest of what was going on around the world. You know, we had a whole lot of things going on in that 67-68 time frame. So Tommy stood there along with one of his other fellow Olympians in protest, and during the time of receiving their gold medal, they held their fists high with a black glove on their fist to signify, you know, there is power in the black community, basically. But all these gentlemen sat on this panel. And on this panel, there was a huge discussion about our children as athletes. And I say our children because I'm going to include our children into the conversation, whether or not they're at the middle school level or whether or not they're at the professional level, and all options in between. Because I'm going to tie that together to give you something to think about and hopefully stimulate some conversation here, some additional dialogue here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. Again, if you want to call in, you can reach us at 917 889 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear your opinions, your conversation. What's going on in your mind as we talk about this here very deep conversation this evening? You know, in thinking about this particular subject, and I say we're talking about all athletes from middle school all the way through to high school. Because let me share this. You know, I said in the dialogue of a show topic, you know, episode information, I talked about how, you know, at one point in time, athletes was looked at as dumb jocks. Well, folks, for the most part, that conversation has been pushed to the back burner. You know, that's no longer anything that comes up. But again, on the same note, they are not looked at as superior beings or superior students either. You know, folks very quickly dismiss athletes and simply say, well, guy probably wouldn't have been, and I've heard this. And I've heard this come from the mouths of many folks in academia. Well, he or she might not even have the opportunity to attend this school if they wasn't an athlete. Really? That's a very sad statement to make. Very sad statement to make, that you're trying to dismiss the athlete because you don't think that child or that, excuse me, that person, and to us parents, it is our child, has the ability to even qualify to get into that institution. Well, you know, at one point in time, they was looking for, you know, we went through the whole thing. I'm not even going to go into it. I thought about going into the conversation, talk about segregation, and then rolling on from there. But you know what? I can't even lower my brain down to that level. So I'm just going to stay on a very positive note and talk about how our athletes are such superior beings. Our children as athletes are such superior beings. And then I'm going to roll that around to the conversation on them being involved in social change. Well, let's look at our athletes. Let's look at our everyday children. And see, this is something that's instilled in them at the middle school level, and that's why I want to start at the middle school level. I think the middle school and the high schools can step up and do a better job of dotting that I and crossing that T to make sure that our athletes understand, our children understand the importance of a very serious, rigorous educational structure. I really and truly think that is something that needs to be done. But let me tell you this, parents, and you can sit back and shake your head and totally agree with me and say that, yes, it is something that needs to be done. But it won't get done until we demand it be done. It won't get done until we, as the parents of these young children, step up and have something to say to our school board. Identify that conversation with administrators. That conversation to the school board. And don't let it be just the conversation. Be something that you're going to follow up on. I think the academic structure and the requirements should be a little bit more strenuous than what they currently are. You know, you got some situations in some school systems where the kid barely has a 2.0, which we all know just basically averages out to a C, and they're still involved in playing sports. Well, the NCAA recently made a change where that requirement just to get into college is a bare minimum of a 2.3. I think at the middle school level, that requirement should be at a bare minimum for 2.3. High school, we raise that up to a 2.5 or higher. And you know, parents, we're going to put our own little twist on it. So by the end of the day, if the school is at a 2.5, we're probably going to raise it up to a 2.7 or a 3.0. But I think we need to do a little bit more to ensure that our children involved in sports understand the importance of the academic side of things. I say that they are exceptional students because these children are not only required to do their very best or to do their best in the classroom and maintain that level. It's not just of a passing grade, because if you start to think it's just of a passing grade, folks, is a B. It may not be a passing grade in your household, but a passing grade in the school systems is a B. So they're required to maintain at least a C, which many of us think that's very low. I agree with you. I'm all with that. That needs to be raised up. But they're doing that. They're maintaining that bare minimum. At the same time, you have those ones that are a little bit more exceptional on the court or on the field, wherever their area of play is. They're maintaining that as well. I say that they are exceptional and superior humans and great students because of the simple fact that requirement is not placed upon anyone else in the school system. Whether or not we're talking middle school, high school, or college. The average kid has the opportunity to spend countless hours getting additional help to make sure that he or she maintains those grades. Oftentimes, the athletes are required to do what? If they're in study hall, they're in study hall for a half hour, hour, whatever the case may be. Then what? Off to practice. And now they're off to practice, and that's the next 2 to 3 hours. So, cannot tell me that our children as athletes should not be considered as exceptional and superior beings. This is another thing I want to throw at you. Our children as athletes also are born, are given leaders. I shouldn't say born leaders. I would say given leaders. And what I mean by that, simply due to the fact that notice how they are able to influence others. Their ability to influence others is very rarely matched in that school system. Very rarely have you been able to look in any athletic setting or any school system that has a number of athletes and notice that the athletes, notice that the athletes don't have a following or a group of folks that they have influence, or a group of young guys, a group of young ladies that they like to hang out with, and they're normally the leader of that pack. So they have that leadership ability that we, as parents, and I would challenge the administration in that school to tap into and to help guide and steer things, functions, the society of the school, the overall feeling of the school, the fabric of the school. Allow them to be a part of that, because they have the influence to help things run a whole lot smoother in any school system that we have. They may have more influence than your student council. They may have more influence than your class president. If the captain of the football team is not one of the class officers, I'd be willing to bet you, check it out in your child's school, that that individual has more influence than the class president at his school. Amazing. So, on that note, looking at that full picture that I just laid out for you, why don't you think that our children should have a voice in social change? Because it's something that's going to impact their lives moving forward. And like I said, this has to start at the middle school level. Now, am I saying that middle schoolers should jump up and start protesting? No. I'm not saying that. But if they see something that isn't productive, or they may not understand it, they should be able to have a voice. They shouldn't be silenced by the coach. They shouldn't be silenced by the school administration. They should be able to have a voice. They shouldn't be silenced by us as parents. Why am I saying that? Because of the simple fact that, again, in the end, who has to live and fulfill those dreams? That child. Not us parents. That's something that our children are going to have to live with. Something that our children are going to have to live with. Again, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Looks like I have a caller here that wants to join in on the conversation. Let me see if we can plug this caller in. Okay, we're talking about call area code 314. Area code 314. Welcome to the Parents of the Press Network. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine, sir. Who are we speaking with?
It's Pianchi.
Say again, sir?
Call. My name is Pianchi. I'm calling from the Midwest.
Okay, very good. Well, welcome to the Parents of the Press Network. Did you have something that you wanted to add to the conversation?
Well, I could add a lot to the conversation on as far as the education and what needs to be done in order to prepare African American kids for rigorous discipline in advanced education. And that should start early, as early as possible. And, you know, they should have all they need to know by the sixth grade in order to graduate at the 12th. You know, you was talking about black athletes in these colleges. And those top athletes don't take no. You very seldom do you find any of them doing engineering courses because they weren't prepared coming up through elementary school. And that there is a problem. I have a grandson that attends LSU. He's a sophomore. He's 19 years old. And he talks about, he tells me, say, Papa, those athletes don't take them hard courses. And I can understand why. It's because, see, even the white ones, because they're trying to make the majors. Then if they don't, then they fall back to sports medicine and, you know, sports-related ventures.
Well, I'm not too sure about that there, sir. And I'm going to tell you why. I know a number of young athletes that have went on to not only be professional athletes or have went on to be professionals in corporate America. I know a number of engineers that I work with at a Fortune 500 company, and these guys are electrical engineers. Went through college on scholarship. One went through college. Playing football. Just so happened to turn
well,
out.
Well, you know, we all know a few, but, you know, when you look at the National Society, my grandson's a member of the National Society of Black Engineers, and I participate with them quite a bit. And mm-hmm. they have a milestone to start producing 25,000 black engineers a year by the year 2025. Right now, they're only doing about 3,000 a year. And, you know, you made mention of the NCAA have raised their requirements. Either you have a high college entrance exam or you carry in a high GPA. And you're right, they raised that from their 2.0s up to, what, 2.3, 2.5 or something like that. And now you have to keep in mind, too, some of these schools that our kids coming from are 2.5 in their schools, not a 2.5. in other areas. So there's a lot that has to be done. It's a lot that has to be done. Those kids that's out there on the football field, the basketball court, but we don't see blacks in those behind-the-scene avocation that if it wasn't for them, well, those activities wouldn't be able to carry on. You know, you got your sports medicine, you got your advertising, you got your announcing, you got your ambulance service, concessions, and a whole list of things that we should be involved in, being that we had a majority of our young people that's bringing in the revenue. And then, too, that revenue that they're bringing in is providing scholarships for sports that blacks don't even participate in, to say much. So this subject I like to talk about, and contribute to your question as far as children getting involved, I don't think they should. I think you should have elements in your community. You should have elements in your society that does that for them. Because the ramification, just like you mentioned about Tommy Smith, and you mentioned about you know, even just as recently, the TV revenue on the NFL had dropped like 28% because of the things that went on surrounding Kaepernick. So there should be elements in your community and your society that does those things, because you put those athletes out there, the young people out there, they can be targeted and be subject to ramification. I mean, just look at here in Missouri, what happened to those football players at the University of Missouri. And before them, there was an incident with that same school that they was going to boycott, whereas the black players on that team, I can't remember where it was, out west, might have been the University of Wyoming or something. The coach put all of them out of school. So that is a very peculiar question that you asked, a peculiar thing. I don't think they should get involved in.
I understand 100% your thought. And that's what I was throwing the question out there to see, you know, what is the listening audience thinking about? You know, what's your conversation? You know, why do you think? And that can go either way. Your thoughts are one thing, and somebody else may have another thought. And I'm going to tell you my thoughts towards the end of the show here and just be able to move on from there. But you brought up some very good points. And
you know another thing, too.
Yes, sir.
When you look at the graduation rate at your historical black colleges and universities, you only got 5 schools that have a graduation rate at any one point in time that is over 50% in 6 years. And you got some that's as low as 17% graduation rate. Of those 106 schools, historical black colleges and universities, there's 106 of them, they predict, it's predicted by blacks themselves that they will be down to 25 in the next 10 years. 25 schools. And then when you look at the average, the grade point average, or the ACT scores of blacks coming out of these high schools, heck, we got a high school over here in East St. Louis, Illinois, where the average ACT is like 14.4. The state average in Illinois is like 20.2. And just to get in a Spelman, you got to have at least a 25. So that's not the child's fault. That has to go back to black society.
Okay. And that's why I bring my conversation to the parents. I bring my conversation to the parents as far as what they need to do to step up to make sure that their child is getting the best out of every situation.
Absolutely. And you got to have a balance. You got to have a balance between sports and academics. And another thing, you cannot go by what that school is telling you your child is doing. You have to have your child evaluated and assessed by an independent agency that would tell you exactly what work level work that child is doing. And if they're not where they should be, then you got to provide the tutoring. You got to provide the other courses like speed reading. You got to provide the things that they need in order to get back on track and even surpass where they are presently.
Well, I agree with you. It sounds like you got some good thoughts there, and I truly appreciate you calling in this evening and sharing some of your ideas.
Well, I just wanted to contribute because this is a very, very serious topic with me. Like I say, I got a grandson that's going on in school, and I do a lecture with parents, about an hour and a half lecture, and I give them handouts and tell them, explain to them what they need to do to prepare their child for higher education. It's very important. You start young. You got to start as early as kindergarten. You got to save that money. You got to teach them how to do essays and save them up. You got to take them out and expose them to lectures. You got to expose them to museums. You got to expose them to a whole plethora of things till you can recognize where their talents lie. My grandson, I got him in African dance at the age of 2, and looking at his footwork and his handwork, I say he's going to be a good ball player. And I start training him at 5. And that's what he is. He plays for LSU. So anyway, I just wanted to add in on that topic you got there. It's very dear to me.
All right. Thank you. Well, you know, that was a great call, and I'm glad that call was motivated enough to call in and call in from the Midwest and just give us some insight on some of the things that he's thinking about. You know, getting back to what I was saying, and again, we appreciate that call, and hey, caller, stay on with us, and we look forward to hearing more about your program as well, and maybe we can get you on one evening and let you share some insight on what you're doing out there in your area and how we can help you as well. So, always a plus, always a plus. That's what we're all about here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Well, folks, you know it's about that time. Let me step away for a hot second and just give you a few infomercials, and then we'll come back and we'll prepare to wrap this thing up.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and won 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, we're back. We're back. And we just had some good insight from a gentleman called in from the Midwest and just shared some things with us on, you know, his perspective. Again, this conversation is all about the parents' perspective, all about the parents' perspective. It's not about M.H. Scott's perspective or parent coaching parents' perspective. It's about the parents' perspective. What are parents thinking out there? What's going on in your life, in your world, in your area, your surrounding community? You know, how things are going as far as preparing our kids to be involved and be engaged and be a part of fulfilling their dream. What must we do to help them fulfill their dream? Well, folks, we're talking about here this evening, you know, sports activism and social change. Social change. You know, I talked about how our kids are, you know, natural leaders as athletes. You know, they always have a following of some sort because they're able to influence others. You know, we talked about the challenges that they have in the classroom and maintaining their grades and staying up on top of their game out there on the field or on the court. And now let's talk about sports and activism. You know, the caller brought up the point about Colin Kaepernick and talked about you know, some of the things that he believed that, you know, they shouldn't be involved. Well, we look back at time and talk about Tommy Smith and goes back to the 1968 Olympics, you know, and even during that time frame, let's think about the Ali era. When Muhammad Ali decided to protest his being drafted into the war. That was the time that Ali spoke up and had pulled together a nice collective group to help support his call. And as we can recall, and those of you that's old enough to remember, and I think, you know, our caller that was just on a second ago, I know it sounded like he remembered that time frame, where you had a number of high-profile athletes standing tall with Ali in that protest. Should that be a situation today? Should that be a situation now? Should our high-profile athletes stand up and speak out on injustice? You know, oftentimes we think about if they decide to stand up and speak out, well, they may lose endorsement. Well, they may get kicked off the team. Or, well, they may, be banned from whatever. Okay. Well, let's be realistic about it. if this is an issue that's happening in your community, prime example, folks, I'm going to throw it out there. Okay, say if my son had an issue going on in our community, the community in which he grew up in, and he decided to take a stance on it or decided not to speak up on it. Now, you got to look at it from the standpoint of, had he not been in the place where he's at now, had he been in a situation where he was still back here in the streets in the community in which he grew up in, that situation could have just as easily been him. You know, we talk about little things such as, and the caller brought it up, but I wasn't necessarily highlighting the African-American community, but the caller brought it up. I'm going to go ahead and roll on with that. You know, we talk about the situations of driving while black. And we've heard that before, and it's, this is not a black and white conversation. This is just talking about athletes stepping up to be a part of society and show their part of society that, hey, we're not going to let this go. Talking about driving while black, all these unlawful stops. I had my child in the car with me one day, and we was the subject of an unlawful stop. And to this day, myself nor does he know, well, we know why, but was we ever given a reason for that particular stop? And it was funny, and I think it was just a profile thing. It was funny because they were two, looked like African-American men, driving down the street early in the morning. We had on big puffy coats, and we had on skull caps on our head, and he may even have his hood on his head because it was cold that particular day. Now, is that a reason for a stop? I think not. But Officer pulled us over, said that we were weaving back and forth, and he decided to pull us over. Yeah, I was weaving back and forth because you pulled in behind me. I thought you were trying to go around, so I moved over to the other lane. And then when I realized that you're playing the game, then I moved back over to the other side to get up out of your way. You know, I had to let him know that. And it wasn't until I presented a city ID, identification card, saying that I was an employee of the city. And at that time, it was like, oh, okay. And I told him where I was going. Conversation was over. Case was closed, moved on to the next chapter. So my son had a chance to see firsthand racial profiling. So if he wants to come back and speak up on that particular issue, when I say, no, 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 son, don't worry about that, no, I would allow him, I would encourage him to speak up on that issue because that's what he felt strongly about. So should other athletes step out and speak up on various issues? By all means. If they realize that there is an injustice going on in their community, then they should speak up. This is not a black and white issue. This is a platform where they have the voice. They have the opportunity to be heard and understood by the next generation coming behind them. I say this is not a black and white conversation because you look at some prominent coaches in the NBA. Greg Popovich spoke up, had a very good point to bring up. Steve Kerr, Golden State Warriors, spoke up, had a very good point to bring up. both of them gentlemen understand the importance of speaking up. When Steve Kerr heard about the situation where the president wants to shut down a certain group of immigrants from coming into, come on. That's something that needs to be addressed. That's something that needs to be very carefully reviewed. That's something that needs to draw the attention of the masses. Can Steve Kerr do that? Yes. Can other athletes on his team assist him in doing that? Yes. Is there something wrong with that? That's your call. That's your thought. In my opinion, I would say yes. I would say no, there's nothing wrong with it. They're drawing attention to an issue that needs the visibility of the masses. And if they have the attention of the masses, then why not aid in galvanizing folks, bringing us together, helping us work with and through each other to make this point a very clear point so we can bring it to the table of those folks that need to hear our concerns. When you had DePaul, LeBron, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwayne Wade speak up at that speech, during the time we had that stuff going on out there in the Midwest, another ideal platform. But I'm hoping that that platform wasn't simply a one-time hit. Later on, Dwayne Wade took the conversation to Chicago where they had a town hall meeting. And a few others. And there's a few others that's going on around the country. But when they go on, they need to catch the attention of mainstream media and the assistance of social media to make sure that it's being heard by all. Now, once it's being heard, the conversation can be addressed. And you know, it's something that that caller brought up, that he said there should be people in the community that should address that issue. Well, that's a good point. But people in the community that would address that issue, if they don't have the platform to address that issue, then it may not get heard. And I would even go as far as cautioning some of our younger athletes that want to speak up. Parents, we, as parents, and someone that's an advocate for these young athletes, need to very clearly be in their corner, gather their thoughts. Or if not, make sure that they understand that they need to have the right publicist or someone around them, a media specialist, to help put their thoughts together and help them address this issue in a very intelligent way. That's what needs to be done. That's the platform that should take place. That's the feeling inside my heart actually happen for a better tomorrow and for the next generation to come in a situation like that. And as my man would say, it'd be such a beautiful thing. It would be such a beautiful thing. But folks, until we get to that point, until we get to that phase, that stage in our lives, and our young folks as athletes get to that stage of understanding that and not worrying about the reprisal, not worrying about whether or not your endorsements are going to get pulled, understanding that this is a bigger and better day. Especially, look here, I'm going to say this, and then I ain't going to beat this horse too much more. If you're an athlete and you're at the highest level of your game, you've made your 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000, 100,000 or whatever, okay, if your endorsement is pulled and you don't make 50 million. If you don't make $50 million and your endorsement just got pulled, should you really care? Now, if you're out there chasing a dollar and you think you're going to get all the money in the world and everything else, I understand that. But with $50 million, you can stop participating in that sport tomorrow and you'll still be good to go for the rest of your life. And your children should be good to go, and their children's children should be good to go for the rest of their lives. So this blockage of, oh, well, what's the repercussion? Come on, folks. We can speak up and speak out about some foolishness. We want to speak up and speak out about something of great importance. Where are we? Where are we? Conversation starts at home. That conversation starts at home. I had, again, I can only use myself as an example. While driving down the street again, and I live in an area where racial profiling can happen at any given time. But it's the way I choose to address the issue when I'm confronted with it is what people found in me to be something of interest. Well, why was you talking to him like that? I didn't say anything disrespectful. I just simply questioned the issue. I made it known that I do have a full understanding of the situation. And from that point forward, how are we going to deal with it? If it's a ticket, if you're going to issue the ticket, hey, let's issue the ticket, let's move on. We don't have to go into any additional drama. We don't have to go around looking for anything. No, I'm not going to give you permission to search my car if that's what you want to try to do. Because there's no reason for a traffic stop. There's no odors protruding out of the car, nothing. You're not getting anything. And you're not going to shake me up to the point where I'm just going to buckle down, lay over, roll over, play dead. No, that's not going to happen. So, in my opinion, should athletes be able to speak up? Yes. If we're talking about our younger kids, our middle schools and high schools, with some proper guidance, they should be able to speak out and say what they feel. Our college students, same thing. Whether or not they feel that there's some injustices going on campus and they refuse to play another game until that is taken care of, all well, fine and dandy. With our professional athletes, you have the platform. You have the stage. Well, folks, I've been on for about the last hour or so, and I've been talking, and we had a great caller call in from the Midwest and just shared some insight on some things that, you know, he had in place. And he said he actually had a chance to speak with parents on a regular basis about different things and how to prepare their children. And I'm interested, very interested, if you're still listening, caller, very interested in learning more. You can always find us on Facebook at the Parents Coach Parents Network. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at PCP Network. At any given time, shoot us a message. Let us know that, hey, you want to have that, continue that dialogue. And we're trying to work hard to get you here on the Parents Coach Parents Network and see what you have to share with our listening audience. Folks, you know, it's been a great show. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. And on that note, what am I going to do? I'm going to prepare to wind this thing down. So, in that conversation, you know what I say next. Where's my man Keith? Take us out, Keith.
winning of the game. Had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain. The situation that